Welcome to Exhibition, an Xbox podcast, episode number 92. My name is Samuel Adams, and on today's show, we have a ton of news to dig into because it was a very busy week in the world of Xbox. Microsoft has officially signed a contract with Nintendo to bring Call of Duty to the platform for 10 years if the ABK deal closes. They've also inked a contract with Nvidia that brings Xbox PC games to GeForce Now. These are pretty massive deals. Now, outside of the legal ongoings, we also have updates on Halo Infinite Season 3 Echoes Within because the launch trailer is here and we know what is coming. And we saw Forza Horizon 5's new Rally Adventure DLC, so some pretty big ongoing Xbox games are getting some pretty massive updates, and we have plenty of other stories to dig into. But today's episode is a little bit special. This is being recorded on the morning of day number 2 of HCS Charlotte. The Halo Championship Series is in town, and you know your boy had to go. I'm rocking the merch a little bit. I got a t-shirt, got a hoodie, went to Starbucks, got a coffee, watched FaZe Clan dominate. Frosty is wild with these headshots. I'm loving every minute of it. This is my first big gaming event in person. I've never been to a convention. I've never been to a tournament that's not just like a locally run Smash Brothers kind of thing. And it's just incredible. So I'm loving every second of it. About to head to day number 2 here with a friend in a couple of hours. And day number 3 is when the action really kicks up because we've got the grassroots streamer tournament. We've got the actual final itself. Gonna be a big weekend. So very exciting stuff going on, but we know we have to talk about the news. So without further ado, let's go ahead and dive into it. To start off today's show, let's talk about the Microsoft ABK acquisition and the news coming out of Brussels, because this is the biggest week in the acquisition talk that we've seen pretty much since it was announced back in January 2022. And that's because Microsoft went to Brussels and they basically made their case for acquiring this company. They said, we are falling behind the leaders in these regions. This is why we think we can do this. And tech and gaming leaders from around the world basically came to hear these arguments and, of course, sign a couple of contracts along the way. Two started to really make the rounds this week, including Microsoft's agreement with Nintendo to bring Call of Duty to the platform for 10 years. Now, when I say the platform, that does not necessarily mean Nintendo Switch. This definitely means whatever console Nintendo is putting out next. And even then, there are plenty of questions around what that looks like. Cloud gaming or actually release. We don't have all of the details yet, but Microsoft and Nintendo have officially signed that deal they announced a couple of months ago. On top of that, Microsoft has a new agreement with Nvidia to bring Xbox PC games and Activision Blizzard PC titles to GeForce Now for 10 years. These are two very massive agreements, and what these show are Microsoft making semi-concessions in their deal to try and get other big tech leaders on their side, to try and say this deal is okay for us, so Microsoft should be able to do it. Now, the statements that have been put out really paint a very vibrant picture of why they are making these moves. Brad Smith tweeted out a graphic that reads, Microsoft and Nintendo have now negotiated and signed a binding 10-year legal agreement to bring Call of Duty to Nintendo players the same day as Xbox with full feature and content parity so they can experience Call of Duty just as Xbox and PlayStation gamers enjoy Call of Duty. We are committed to providing long-term equal access to Call of Duty to other gaming platforms, bringing more choice to more players and more competition to the gaming market. Phil Spencer tweets out about the Nvidia agreement, saying, we have signed a 10-year agreement with Nvidia that will allow GeForce Now players to stream Xbox PC games as well as Activision Blizzard PC titles, including COD, following the acquisition. We're committed to bringing more games to more people, however they choose to play. These two statements have a very similar line. Phil Spencer saying, bringing more games to more people. Brad Smith saying, bringing more choice to more players. And then tagging on, more competition to the gaming market. These moves are just to prove that Microsoft is not acquiring Activision Blizzard with any kind of anti-competitive mindset going into it. They want more players to play more of the games. Now, we've talked about this on the show before. You can play games on mobile. You can play games on the cloud. You can play games on a console, on a PC. no matter where you play, let's say Call of Duty is available on every platform that I just listed, you're spending $70 and giving that to whoever owns the keys to the castle, no matter where you play. It doesn't matter. So Microsoft, if they acquire ABK, will make money either way. A lot of people online are talking about this like it's meant to sell consoles, and it will sell consoles, because exclusivity in the form of like Fallout, in the form of Elder Scrolls, Starfield, that kind of stuff, in the same way that Sony has Spider-Man and Wolverine coming out, and Horizon and the PlayStation VR 2, these are all meant to sell the boxes. But the income still comes in if the games are just existing everywhere. And like Microsoft and Phil Spencer have said before, if they were to take Call of Duty off of these other platforms, especially PlayStation, where this 10-year marketing agreement has built up such a huge affinity for Call of Duty within that community, they would lose money on it, because that's just money left on the table. Now, opening it up to potentially 150 million Nintendo fans will bring even more dollars in. Now, the question is, how many of those 150 million are actually interested in playing Call of Duty on Nintendo Switch? I'd say probably less than our own PlayStation, but the NVIDIA GeForce Now stuff is also very exciting, because now Starfield coming to GeForce Now eventually. That's exciting, especially in the world of streaming, which addresses one of the main concerns that the CMA called out as well, is Microsoft potentially having a monopoly over the cloud gaming space. This addresses that directly through a contract with NVIDIA for GeForce Now streaming. So these agreements are all meant to make points, but I want to reiterate, these are all businessmen that are protecting the interest of their stockholders and their investors. They are there to get the business deal done, and they are there to protect the interest of the company that they represent, whether that's Jim Ryan with PlayStation or Phil Spencer with Microsoft or Brad Smith with Microsoft, whoever is on their show floor talking, whoever is over there rubbing elbows with the big gaming publishers and things like that, they are there for their investors and gamers, of course, but bringing those deals to a close will bring benefits to the company. That's what they're there to do. So all of that being said, I think this was a massive win for Microsoft this week. I know I've seen some commentary pieces saying this is all just hot air, it's all fluff. I think that these agreements making the rounds like they did, and finally actually getting some agreements, some signatures, some contracts signed, that is a big step forward. And I think that between NVIDIA and Nintendo, Xbox has a stronger case for acquiring Activision Blizzard than they have since they announced it. I think that's pretty impressive. So time will tell. Again, April is a big turning point for the CMA talks. The FTC is coming later this summer. We still have a long way to go, unfortunately, because I'm tired of talking about it. But big win for Microsoft for this week, in my opinion. I'd love to know what you think down below. This was a big week in the world of ongoing Xbox games, because Forza Horizon 5 saw the announcement that Rally Adventure is going to be launching on March the 29th, and on March 7th, we'll also see Halo Infinite Season 3 Echoes Within, which brings plenty of new content into the game. So let's start off with Forza Horizon 5's Rally Adventure. This is a big DLC. In fact, it can be purchased as a standalone game for $20, which I think is really cool. I think that's a good way to get the Dirt 4 and Dirt 5 fans into the mix if they do want to see what's going on behind the scenes at Forza Horizon. But an entirely new region of the game is coming, Sierra Nueva, and within that region there are going to be 24 new rally races and one massive Goliath race that comes after you finish the first 24. Goliath races, if you don't know, are pretty much those big cross-map races that take 15 to 20 minutes to complete. Plenty of big action, big jumps, big cinematic experience there. Love those Goliath races. Now, with the 24 races that are included with this DLC, 8 of them are night rallies, 8 of them are asphalt rallies, and 8 of them are dirt rallies. So there's kind of this diversity in the way these races feel. They're not all just random rally races. They kind of have more of a purpose to them, which I think is a really cool way to do it. Of course, you've got your voice acting, your storytelling, things mixed in there. You choose your team, etc. But you grind through all of these races eventually and you get to the Goliath. Now, there are also 10 new cars coming into the game with this expansion, like the 2022 Ford F-150 Lightning Platinum, your 1973 Hoonigan Volkswagen Baja Beetle Class 5 1600 Scumbag, and the list goes on. Plenty of cool little rides there, and they get more into how you can tune it. You can change the wheels out, change the gear tuning, all of those good things for the gearheads out there, or if you just want to dive in and have a good time, you'll certainly be able to do that as well. But I've seen a lot of commentary out there with people saying this is cool. Some people saying, where's the innovation? It's more Forza Horizon. I see it both ways. For me, I'm looking for that MotorStorm Apocalypse kind of DLC for a new Forza Horizon game. I'm looking for that over the top. I just launched myself off of a volcano and the world is splitting apart. Something like that, that just brings something new. I mean, here's what I would love to see, because there's a volcano in Forza Horizon 5. Bring that same level of vibrance and detail from Gears 5 Hive Busters and put me in a Hoonigan car and let me launch over some kind of cliff or something. Like, that's what I want to see from a Forza Horizon DLC. But Rally Adventure, not that bad either. Like, I'm excited to dig into this. I need something to bring me back, though, because I never finished the Hot Wheels DLC. It's still installed. I still love Forza Horizon, but I just have other things to play. I'm doing other things right now. So I want this to win my attention. And I don't know that this is going to do that for the long term, but of course I'm going to be diving in. I'm somebody who bought that Game Pass upgrade when it dropped right before Forza Horizon 5 launched. And I would love to see them do more of those kind of activations in the future. But if you do want to dive into Forza Horizon 5's Rally Adventure, it's coming out on March the 29th. But until then, you can check out Halo Infinite Season 3 Echoes Within, which drops on March the 7th. Now, within this update, you've got 3 new maps, 1 new weapon, 1 new piece of equipment, and a 100-tier battle pass that is coming your way. Now, of course, this is a paid battle pass that's going to be $10 if you do want to grind 100 levels. But I'm just glad to have something else to grind, because Halo Infinite is a game that I have spent almost 300 hours in. I think the last I checked last night, I'm on 11 days, 12 hours. So we're getting up there. But I love every second of it. I love the game to death. I just need more stuff to grind. I'm getting into ranked a bit because I'm so bored. I mean, that really paints a big picture there. But within Halo Infinite Season 3 Echoes Within, which has a cool trailer, you're watching it right here, you will be getting, as I said, 3 new maps. One is Oasis, which is a large scale level for the Big Team Battle playlist, while Chasm and Cliffhanger are for the popular 4v4 arena players out there. You also have the return of a DMR style assault rifle, I should say, called the Bandit. I guess that's kind of an oxymoron. It's not really an assault rifle, but it is the Bandit rifle, which plays a lot like the DMR. And then there is also the Shroud Screen, which looks similar to one of the pieces of equipment or abilities in Valorant, where you throw down this kind of spherical circle that blocks all view. It's not really a smoke grenade as Polygon describes it, but more so something that just totally blinds the players as they go into the level, that part that's been affected. So all of those pieces coming together make me very excited. Now, going on in the Polygon article that covers on this news, they also said that more Forge tools are going to be added into the game, and the Community Collection playlist is now going to give you XP, which is very exciting, and there are going to be some new maps coming into that as well, including one called Art's Room, which is kind of like this desk setup. There's an Xbox mini fridge setup, and that's going to be added into the rotation, so it looks like that's just going to be some dumb fun to be had, but my initial reaction to all of this is that this is what I want it to be. I want this frequently. I want this every few months. And it looks like that's exactly what we're getting, because Halo Infinite Season 3, as of right now, runs March 7th through June 27th. So I would assume there's probably going to be a Season 4 announcement during this year's presentation, the Xbox Showcase, that comes around the same time as the Summer Game Fest and E3 and things like that, to let us know what Season 4 is going to look like. And I'm sure there's going to be plenty of blog updates and things along the way. But 3 new dev-made maps, not Forge maps, dev-made maps, new weapon, new equipment, keep things fresh. And again, as somebody who's going to HCS this weekend, I would love to see more diversity in the map lineup, which we're already getting with Empyrean and Argyle and things like that. But also, I want to see how the pros use the Shroud Screen. I want to see how the pros grab the Bandit. What can they do with that? Because it seems like it's more of like a single shot commando with maybe a bit more accuracy, maybe a bit more range. Those are the kind of things that I want to see in the game, and that adds longevity to it, because then you have new things to master, new things to grind that aren't just battle passes, but are literal skill gaps. Like, you've got to learn how to use these things. So I'm super excited about Halo Infinite Season 3. I love this game, and I can't wait to get more into it. But between that and Forza Horizon 5, March is already looking like a pretty good one, and we haven't even gotten into the Game Pass titles because there is so much coming. Very exciting stuff. Switching gears a bit, let's talk about the PlayStation State of Play on today's Xbox podcast, but specifically talking about the Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League section, because Suicide Squad is one of the most anticipated games of the year, and it's Rocksteady's first game since 2015's Arkham Knight. Now, to put that into perspective, I went to go pick up Arkham Knight on release day the year that I graduated high school. I have gone to college, and I am now on my third job after college. That's how long it's been since we saw the last game from Rocksteady. And so there is a huge level of anticipation going into this release, and with that came a level of expectation that I personally don't think was hit with this week's announcement of Suicide Squad, because it didn't fit the bill. I mean, I think it really broke a lot of players' expectations, and maybe that was on us for presuming that it would play and look like a Rocksteady game. Visually, looks pretty good. As far as the gameplay goes, things got a bit weird, because as you're checking out here, every character has a jetpack. The gameplay, in my opinion, feels a bit floaty. Haven't played it firsthand, but everybody's just flying around the map, and it seems like the main objective is to shoot all of the purple pressure points on the enemies, the armor, tanks, the helicopters, anything like that. You just shoot the purple, because Brainiac's taking over Metropolis, and that's his main color, so you shoot that and he'll go away. It's kind of the takeaway from the gameplay that I had. But in addition to that, this is not going to be a single player game or even a co-op game. This is going to be a live service game that comes packed with a battle pass that you can buy shortly after launch. And there's also a customization menu that looks very similar to Destiny or like Outriders that I've been playing lately, where you have to continually grind new armor, new weapons, new equipment, things like that, that you want to continue to cycle out. Now, you can transmog and make yourself look however you want, but it still feels so weird to think that I'm going to be playing as Harley Quinn in a Metropolis that's being taken over by Brainiac, who has brainwashed the Justice League, and we've got to take them out, and I have to be focused on getting a new set of boots or whatever. I don't think that's actually something that you have to grind, but like looking at this, you've got Firearm 1, Firearm 2, Melee, Grenade, Shield mod, Traversal mod, and then a couple of other points there as well. But that kind of stuff where you have to grind for new gear and complete missions to get drops and things like that, it's not what I wanted from Suicide Squad. I mean, I really did want somewhat of a Guardians of the Galaxy style game, I think would have been fine. Of course, with Rocksteady, there's a little bit more expectation of some polish, maybe a different variation on the combat that we saw from Guardians of the Galaxy, but I wanted that narrative to carry. And it looks like it is, because quite frankly, not much else in this game looks like it's going to be appealing to me personally, because I don't want this to be a live service, grindy Destiny Outrider style game. I wanted this to be that narrative driven thing. But the story itself looks interesting. Again, Brainiac is invading Metropolis. He has now brainwashed the Justice League. Wonder Woman comes in the trailer, lassos the Flash, says, "How do we end this?" And he's like, "You've got to kill us, Diana." Yes, injected into my veins. But outside of that, the gameplay didn't really hit for me. So really going to be interesting to see what the reception of this one's like. I think it's going from a buy on day one all the way down to like a Black Friday $20 pickup for me. Just my two cents on it. I don't want to judge too early, but doesn't feel like a game that needs a battle pass. Doesn't feel like a game that needs these mechanics in it. And I think that it's kind of one of those relics of a game that started development in, you know, 2016, let's say, 2017, maybe. And then they started really coming into their own in 2018, 2019, when these mechanics were taking off. Now they're baked in so far, they can't really go back in and take them out. It's kind of what we saw with Gotham Knights, where you could tell that it was going to be a live service game. They saw the reaction to having tons of microtransactions and things in games, and they pulled those out, leaving this kind of hollow, weird ghost of what the game was going to be, which, again, the right move for Gotham Knights, but it was still pretty much a 7 across the board when it launched. So Suicide Squad's going to be a very interesting one to watch. We'll see what happens. But speaking of Warner Brothers, I did want to wrap off today's conversation with the fact that Mortal Kombat 12 is going to launch in 2023, according to a Warner Brothers investors call, where they said, quote, "And there's lots more to come, including the highly anticipated Mortal Kombat 12 and Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League, games also set for release this year with ambitious launch projections." And then you saw Ed Boon over at NetherRealm saying, "So who else heard the news about Injustice 3? You know, kind of throwing some funniness into the mix there, as he usually does. excited about this one as well. I think that Mortal Kombat has a lot of promise, and it's really going to be a big year for fighting games. I mean, I know there are a couple of other ones coming out, but the two big ones in my mind are Street Fighter VI and Mortal Kombat 12. And it looks like we're getting both of those later this year. So excited to see more. Of course, Street Fighter VI saw its Evo lineup announced. We also got a pretty big trailer during that State of Play as well, talking about the new characters that are coming in, giving us a quick look. So that's exciting stuff. Of course, that one's also coming to Xbox. So that'll be nice, I should say. But yeah, exciting times. Lots of big gaming news this week. So the summer season is heating up. We've got Summer Game Fest on the way. E3 is doing something out there. So we'll see. Lots of big conversations coming in the months ahead. As usual, we'll talk about the new Game Pass games coming to round off today's show, but I wanted to talk about two stories that caught my eye that are massive wins for players, developers, and for publishers. And the first is that Bungie has won a $4.3 million lawsuit against a Destiny 2 cheat maker known as Aim Junkies. This has been going on since 2021. They took these guys to court, and through breaches of DMCA, player contracts, all kinds of stuff, they ended up paying $4.3 million. And then additionally, one of Call of Duty's biggest cheat makers has been sued for $3 million. Now, these are two individuals connected to engine owning, according to GamesRadar.com. And this has all been going down since 2022 when Activision took them to court, and they now have to shell out $3 million. So what I bring these two stories up for is to make a point of, number one, if you play stupid games, you're going to win some stupid prizes. These people played some stupid games, and look at that, they won them a stupid prize. Now, on top of that, if you are playing a game, any kind of online shooter, and you are not good enough to compete at the level of the people that are also in your server, so you feel compelled to go out and buy an aimbot, why are you playing the game? Like, what is the fun in that? Yeah, you get a KD, all of that good stuff. If you do it competitively, you get caught. You don't win any money. You're just ruining someone else's good time, and it can't be rewarding for you because you're just sitting there knowing that you've paid a couple hundred bucks to $1,000 to get this software installed on your computer, probably getting some malware in there as well, and you're just ruining someone's good time. If you do that, you're a shitty person. Calling it out there plain and simple. But I love these stories because it shows that these companies care. They want to give players good experiences, and they're willing to make an example out of some people to do whatever it takes. $4.3 million, I don't know how much these guys are making from these cheats. That's a chunk of change, no matter how you look at it. Now, on top of that, on the Call of Duty side, I know they've been doing Ricochet anti-cheat, which people have been working around. It's been an issue since day one. But again, $3 million. Take them down. Take them to court. Do it. And I love to see it. To round out today's show, I am a man of my word. Let's talk about February 2023 Round 2 for Xbox Game Pass games, some of which are out now, some of which are coming in the days ahead. First and foremost, Atomic Heart is available now. Of course, that's sitting somewhere between a 6 and an 8, depending on what outlet you look at as far as reviews go, but it was a big day one launch with Game Pass on cloud console and PC. Then on February 28th, Merge and Blade is coming to cloud console and PC, which is an addictive fantasy puzzler and massive auto battler in the world's first puzzler auto battler game. Cool little rundown there. Then Soul Hackers 2 is also launching on February 28th on cloud console and PC, which is a supernatural RPG with stylish summoners and dark dangers lurking under cyberpunk Japan. I know I've never played Soul Hackers, but it's one that's pretty notorious in the RPG genre. So a cool one to see come there as well. Then on March 2nd, we get F1 22 on console and PC, thanks to EA Play as it comes into the playlist. And Wolong Fallen Dynasty comes out on cloud console and PC on March 3rd, which is launching directly into Game Pass. And it's kind of that Dark Souls style combat. I played the demo a couple of months back. I'm trash at it, so I'm probably not going to play it, but I might dive in. We'll see what happens there. But if you're into that kind of thing, certainly one to check out. Now, the game updates. We have Microsoft Flight Simulator World Update number 12, New Zealand, which is out on February 23rd, or I should say available now. And then some new ultimate perks, as well as Apex Legends Supercharged Rivalry Pack and Multiverses MVP Pack Drop 3, both of which are out now. And then leaving Game Pass, we've got Alien Isolation, Crown Trick, Dragon Ball FighterZ, Far Changing Tides. Check that game out. It's a good one. I love Far Changing Tides. Lightning Returns, Final Fantasy 13, Madden NFL 21, and Octopath Traveler. Octopath Traveler is a weird one because then Octopath Traveler 2 isn't even coming out on Xbox. What a weird Square Enix move that one is. But no matter how you cut it, plenty of games coming out on Game Pass, and as I encouraged people to do in last week's show, go in there, check out new games, because I think that we're all getting so caught up in the live service rigmarole in the day-to-day that we forget that we have all of these games at our disposal just ready to go. Play something, you know, just figure it out. Try something new. I loved it. So definitely do that and enjoy these games that are coming to Game Pass, because it's such an incredibly valuable tool to be able to dive in and just play whatever you want. I mean, if I had had this when I was a kid, dude, I would have played so many more games. So take that energy and live it out in 2023. There's plenty of good stuff coming. But that wraps up today's episode of Exhibition, an Xbox podcast. If you enjoyed today's show and you're new here, be sure to hit that subscribe button on YouTube or add the show to your podcast feed of choice and get it delivered to you each and every Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern time, because there's always some good conversations to be had. But as for me, I'm about to head out, go to HCS 2023, day number 2 here in Charlotte. Looking forward to getting some action there as well. But I'll talk to you guys soon. Have a fantastic week, and remember, keep on playing.